Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Sacramento, KRXQ HD2 Sacramento, ESPN 1320, Sacramento sports leader. Always live on the Odyssey app. It's time now to go beyond the headlines, and for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Never a good thing when you look up to start your show and there's an engineer in the other studio.
That usually means,
like, uh-oh!
Kyle, did you turn the radio on?
I don't have to do that. That's Joe.
Well, I know.
We're good? We're live? Yeah, I see us. We're live. We're all set.
We are all set.
Very good. We'll start the radio program now. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. At Voice was Joe Brazil. He produces this show. We are sponsored by Jiffy Lube, and we're here 10 a.m. to noon every single day on ESPN 1320. That's 1320 AM and 98.5 FM HD2 on your radio dial.
Mm-hmm.
We're on the free Odyssey app.
Yep.
You should be downloading favorite ESPN 1320. Listen to us anywhere in the world. The James Hamm and Kyle Madsen Show, that's the podcast version of this show. Subscribe wherever you get your pods, even if you don't listen to the podcast.
Okay.
Joe, hold that thought. And YouTube and Twitch, hi everybody, youtube.com/ESPN1320, twitch.tv/ESPN1320. If you'd like to watch this program, we are simulcasting there as well. Good morning everybody in the chatty house, and everybody who watches who is not in the chatty house, good morning to you also. Joe, what's going on over there? Are you okay?
No, everything's completely fine. I just wanted to know what he wanted to say. He didn't say anything.
He didn't say anything?
He said nothing.
Stood in here?
Yeah. And then he was like, no, you're good. Because he saw we were turning the show on. I'm like, yeah, just 5 seconds.
Oh, it might have been something. Okay. Yeah, no, we're good. We're good. Okay. I'm not going to get into the weeds of why he might have been in here. We'll talk about it after the show. Genuinely, I like to pull the curtain back on this show. And you know, we talk about, like, when certain, if Joe's out, the different things I got to do. You know, we like to pull the curtain back a little bit. The curtain would be, it'd be too far. Too much curtain would be pulled back for me to explain why. So, anyways, okay. We're here now. The A's lost again last night, and I don't want to spend a ton of time talking A's. The Giants also lost again last night.
Yeah.
The A's have lost 19 of their last 20 games. The Giants have now gone 16 consecutive games without scoring more than 4 runs.
Okay, and conversely, the A's in 11 of the games that they've lost over the 19 out of 20, 11 of those games they've given up 9 runs or more.
Oof.
9 runs or more.
Good God.
9 runs.
That's crazy. They stink. The A's are terrible. They're just not, and I know you got some things specifically from last night that I want to get to. In fact, you know what? Let's get to those first because they help explain my larger issue with the A's. So let's get into their 10-3 loss last night. Again, we're not going to spend a ton of time on this. We've got Kings free agency rumors and Kings trade rumors. Some big news coming out from the homies at Hoops Hype.
Yeah.
Insider sources.
Huge news.
Potentially trading one of the big three.
Oh my goodness. Maybe?
Maybe, possibly.
Maybe one, maybe two.
We'll get into that. And then I thought a lot about the discussion we had yesterday about the Kings and should they tear it down, should they not. And I think I'm off the fence.
Okay.
Because I was very much on the fence yesterday, and I think I'm off the fence, and we can talk about that. But I want to get to this A's game last night because I had an epiphany during the game.
A Kyle epiphany?
Yeah, because I tuned in shortly after the stretch that you want to talk about, because Mark Kotze, the A's manager, had a rough night last night. And I'm not really sure if it's on him or if it's just the players aren't good enough.
Okay.
But you feel as though there were some opportunities for Kotze to push some buttons last night that he didn't.
Yeah, so I said this before, but I am like a very big baseball fan. And right. I do watch a huge percentage of athletics games, even over the last, you know, decade, maybe even more like 25 years. Like, I watch almost every game, at least huge parts of almost every game. There are games where I'll give up. Last night, I was watching the game, and then I'm like, all right, I need to go get on the treadmill and get some work in, right? And I don't think I've ever yelled an F word so loud as I did while running, raised my heart rate, while on the treadmill watching the A's game last night. I was so infuriated with just the lack of basics. It's just, you know, like, I have no problem with Mark Kotze trying to do the bullpen game.
The opener.
Yeah, the opener, mm-hmm. right? So Grant Holman opens the game. He gets through the first.
Inning and a third.
Yeah, yeah. So they bring in, it's Jacob Lopez.
Yep.
Jacob Lopez was electric. Like, he is striking out everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gives up a solo shot, but gets right back to striking out everybody. And it's 2-1, and the game's sitting there, and you're like, okay, this looks like an actual baseball game.
The A's are up 2-1.
They're up 2-1. Mm-hmm. It looks like a baseball game, mm-hmm. not some sort of clown show that we've been watching over the last couple of months, right? Then we get to, like, the middle part of the game, and again, Lopez strikes out a guy, gives up a solo shot, strikes out a guy. I think he gives up a single, and then there's a ground ball to Soderstrom that should end the inning. Soderstrom slips, can't get to first base. He tries to fling the ball over. Lopez, like, slides in, like, half of his body is straddling the bag, and the ball's rolling along the side. He tries to grab the ball. They review it, and he doesn't have the ball in his hands, right? So the inning goes on. I'm watching just like Kotze is watching. I know that Kotze, like, they had a minute here to, like, look at everything.
Mm-hmm.
Lopez gets up, and he is shot. Like, the run to first base mm-hmm. took whatever was left in that kid, and he's walking back to pitcher's mound. He's drenched in sweat. His mm-hmm. entire jersey is sweat. He can't catch his breath. You can see it. And he doesn't pull him.
Or send the pitching coach out.
Slow, like, the game down for
a second. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So then bad things start to unfold. So that was my first thing. You know, he should have been replaced then. I think they give up he gives up a single. Then they bring in Beto. Now, again, Beto has been a starter for the A's for the last couple of years, on and off. Mm-hmm. He keeps getting sent to the minor leagues. He'd just been sent down to the minor leagues again. He started two games in the minors, didn't come out of the bullpen, but started two games. And so you throw him in here,
mm-hmm.
like, in a situational situation. Like, mm-hmm. this is, like, not a normal spot for a starter
right.
to come in. 4-pitch walk right off the bat. And then the game unwinds from there. He had a 4-pitch walk, and then he gives up a single, scores a couple of runs. Just does not look good at all.
Yeah, was not an effective pitcher.
Has no composure at all. You can, I mean, if you come in and give a 4-pitch walk, first of all, somebody in the bullpen should have said, hey, the kid can't find his direction at all. He's nowhere near the plate. Well, so that's one thing.
Yeah, go ahead. When he's warming up, it might be... Like, I'm sure it's fine because you're not trying to miss bats.
No, I get you. So my problem is they allow him to start the next inning. Mm-hmm. And I get, going back, it's a bullpen game, right? So maybe they're hoping for long relief out of a kid who's never pitched in long relief, at least sure. not with this team.
Yeah, get you a couple innings at least.
Yeah, and then it's a complete disaster from there. But between these innings, it's now 3-2.
Still a game.
Then it goes to 5-2 because they get a couple extra runs off of Beto. Mm-hmm. The next inning, the A's half of the inning, they come out swinging, right? Mm-hmm. And they get
as
a
they
run.
Want to do.
Yeah, mm-hmm. they get a run, and then they've got guys on first and third with two outs.
Yep.
And
in a 5-3 game.
In a 5-3 game,
huge
but
spot
in the sixth inning. Mm-hmm. Like, this is a big spot, right? And, like, God bless his heart. He can field. He's a good defensive outfielder, but Denzel Clark is brand new to the bigs, mm-hmm. and he didn't hit well in AAA, let alone, like, mm-hmm. the A's sent down Bleday, who was batting like 230 with six home runs and a bunch of RBI. Mm-hmm. and brought up Denzel Clark to play center field. Well, Denzel Clark's batting like 280 in the minors with like a home run. Like, this is not a hitter at all. And he gets up and he watches strike three. And I'm sitting there like, okay, first of all, you brought Blade back up. He's playing left field. You've got to have somebody on your bench you can pinch hit for Clark. And we're not talking about taking away a kid's spirit or anything. Like, you need to win a game. You've lost seven in a row, and at that point, 18 out of 19. And he stands there and watches strike three go right down the middle of the plate. And, you know, again, you come into the next inning, and Beto's just, he doesn't have it. They bring in Ferguson, and, you know, again, I'm watching this full unfold. And
Tyler Ferguson, who's a 31-year-old who made his major league debut last year.
Yeah, he's barely not a rookie.
Yeah,
at
not
31.
Some hot shot prospect where you're like, we need to get this guy some innings.
But he is like the only guy that you have for middle for setup guy. That's the like the disaster that is the A's roster. Middle. They have absolutely no pitching. And I'm watching Dallas Braden sit there and say, okay, you know, they've got themselves in a situation here, but the game is still manageable. Mm-hmm. It's like 6-3.
Yep.
You're still in it. Mm-hmm. All you got to do is, you know, the bases are loaded. So the bases are juiced. They got I don't even know who's up at the plate. It's like a 1-0 count. Some dude's at the plate, some rando. But
Royce, doesn't matter. Go ahead.
Okay, you've got Lewis on deck. Now, Lewis is, he's the modern-day Pat Tabler. I don't know if anyone knows who Pat Tabler is.
No clue who Pat Tabler is.
Pat Tabler for the Indians.
Royce Lewis.
Okay, Royce Lewis. So the batting, Pat Tabler's batting average with the bases loaded for his career is like 470. Like, the dude rakes with the bases loaded. Well, that's this Lewis kid, right? Mm-hmm. He's had 22 at-bats in the major leagues with the bases loaded, and he's batting 455 with five homers.
Jeez.
Like, he's a monster with the bases loaded. But
he's getting a pitch to hit.
He's on deck. Mm-hmm. So you're thinking, hey, look, maybe you can get through this. All you got to do is you need a ground ball. You need a ground ball, double play, get out of the inning, and live to fight another day. Mm-hmm. Tyler Ferguson beans this dude on a 1-0 pitch. Just, like, nails him to set up, like, the star.
Trying to own the inside half of the plate.
No, doesn't even do that. No. Yanks the pitch, hits him in the foot.
Oh, my God.
And if it didn't hit him, it would have gone to the backstop and at least scored one.
This is so bad.
And so, boom, he scores. You HBP a run in to put up the guy who's batting 455 with the bases loaded, and that guy ropes a double off the wall. You almost destroy everything.
Almost. We're good, though.
Just, like, so frustrated with what's happening. You get to a point where, again, Ferguson is still in the game. You got guys on second and third, and he throws a wild pitch to the backstop just to score the ninth run, just to add, like, a little bit more to the pain. It just felt like there were so many moments where, hey, look, that guy doesn't have it. What are you doing? And, hey, look, why aren't you situational, like, managing a batter-by-batter situation in the sixth inning and pinch hitting for a light-hitting center fielder with somebody that could potentially... Maybe you don't have anyone. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, why do you not have anyone? You know, like, so for me, it was just like this season in a nutshell, because this was a 2-1 game going into the sixth. Mm-hmm. It's not like this happened all played out over, like, seven innings and you were getting drubbed the whole time. You got drubbed in the span of two innings. Just really, really frustrating to watch, man.
It's frustrating because they're just not competitive. I'm going to use a word that I don't like to use about a sports team.
Okay.
They are unserious.
Yeah.
I went there. Yeah, I went there. That's what it is, though. They just don't, with the Kings, who I promise we will get to. In fact, that's coming up in 5 minutes. How many times did the Kings last year did we go, dude, they were just not competitive?
Oh, yeah.
The compete level was just not there. That's what it felt like. The A's got to 6-3 last night and went, well, here's another one. How's tonight going to unravel? And then the game unravels the same way every single night. And at some point, I understand, I don't want to put this all on Mark Kotze because, I mean, he's given a really crappy hand.
I totally agree. I totally agree.
But at the same time, like, the competitiveness has just not quite been there on a night-to-night basis. And again, this is not fire somebody, release somebody, make a trade. This is not anything like that. The bigger thing is something you hit on before the show. This is not ballpark related
at all. Hitting a player with the bases loaded has nothing to do with the fact that you're playing at a AAA ballpark.
And I say this, I think it's important to say this because we talked a lot about Luis Severino yesterday.
Yeah.
And his 6.99 ERA at home and his 0.87 ERA on the road. Like, he is just a non-major leaguer at Sutter Health Park and a freaking all-star at every other park he's pitched in this year.
Yep.
This is not ballpark related. This is a home problem. It is a road problem. This started on the road. In that series against the Dodgers, in that series against the Angels,
where they got swept,
in that series
the
against the Giants, this is where that all started. So this is not a Sutter Health Park problem. This is just a not good baseball team.
Yeah.
And I kept waiting. Okay, you lose 2 out of 3 to the Yankees. You lose 2 out of 3 to the Giants. You get swept by the Angels. Okay, well they'll win a couple here and kind of right the ship. They're just not righting the ship.
No. They're in a death spiral, and it's so bad. I don't want to hear anything about the park. I don't. Like, you play better baseball. Play better baseball. That's it.
That's it.
You see a kid run to first base trying to get an out, and he's at the back end of his run, and he's already struck out 9 guys in like 4 innings.
Mm-hmm.
He's gassed.
If you were...
Throw the white flag, or at least go out and delay the game.
If you were... I don't know. How many games are they in? 62.
Mm-hmm.
If you were 20-4 on the road and whatever at home that would make them 23-39 overall, okay. Like, let's talk. But they stink everywhere.
Yeah.
Their
home and road splits are still like.
Last night was jarring as far as they're like, oh, like they really just don't compete.
Yeah.
The ninth inning, strikeout looking.
Good at bats. When in basketball, we talk about letting go of the rope. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm watching.
Can you, right. And that's not, again.
It's not on Kotze. I mean, you started the season without a bullpen at all. You started the season, you walked in without spending any money on your bullpen at all.
Where I will put this on Kotze and the coaching staff at least a little bit, because they are the leaders.
Mm-hmm.
The lack of effective at-bats, the lack of competitive at-bats from pitchers, the lack of competitive at-bats from hitters.
Yeah.
I saw a Giants fan complaining the other day that they were sick of hearing Kruk and Kipe talk about good at-bats, because if you hit a line drive right at somebody and they catch it, it's an out. That's not a good at-bat. Like, that's false. You can put together a good at-bat still and like, you know what? Just didn't work out for us today. There's just not being competitive at the plate even.
Yeah, there's no 8-pitch at-bats. No. There's no fouling a ball off. None of it.
Disappointing. Anyways, we're going to put a pin in the A's for a while. And when they win one, we'll let you know. We've got some Kings free agency rumors to get to. We've got Kings trade rumors, I guess, to kind of get to. Someone just reporting the obvious?
Yeah.
We'll get to all of that and more as we continue our Kings offseason discussion right here on ESPN 1320. This is The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. He's James. That's Joe. I'm Kyle. Back in a second on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento Sports Leader.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Yeah, that guy's James. I'm Kyle. Joe's over there. We're hanging out with you until noon. This Pacers flight thing doesn't help my "I think the Pacers are getting swept" take.
Yeah.
I was listening to the Bill Simmons podcast today, which I don't typically do, but he was talking about his finals prediction, and he wanted to pick the Pacers in four, but he's like, I can't do it. I just can't do it. I'm going to go with the pick everybody's doing. I'm picking picking the Thunder in four. He said, I'm going to officially pick the Thunder in five. I'm not backing off my take. I think it's Thunder in four.
I'm going to say Thunder in six.
Especially now, Pacers team flight being rerouted due to tornadoes.
Yeah, Thunder in six is where I was leaning as well, honestly.
Yeah. So this
Don't
morning,
the travel complications.
Yeah, their team flight was rerouted due to thunderstorms to Tulsa, and then they had to circle back to go to OKC, and the entire area is like being pelted by tornadoes right now.
Yeah, vibes are down for the Pacers.
Yeah. I mean, this is like... It's like their defense in a nutshell. Like, it's just like the Thunder's defense. And
You
can't even land here. We will send tornadoes at you.
Lou Dort, Alex Caruso, if that doesn't work, here's a tornado.
Just start naming the tornadoes. There's a Caruso. Caruso, we're sending it at you.
Dort.
Right. Just so everyone's clear, we are hoping that everyone in Oklahoma is okay and that
of course
no one is being attacked by tornadoes, that tornadoes aren't taking people's lives.
Of course. All right. Back to the Kings. I've thought more about this teardown thing than we talked about yesterday.
Yeah.
And I was on the fence because I genuinely saw both sides of it, and just kind of the more I thought about it, I think if you don't reset and you don't rebuild, and we've described this rebuild as being a if you're trading Domantas Sabonis,
mm-hmm.
you're doing so not to acquire like, oh, hey, we need to trade this guy to unlock Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan. Like, no, you're trading him because he has value and you can get assets for the future.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's the same thing. If you're trading Zach LaVine, it's less about the players you're getting back. If you can get a nice young player, cool. But it's more about like the draft picks and the compensation and what you can build out of that war chest, out of that reset. And the reason I think you need to reset is this is not like a, oh man, they were this close. They were one piece away and now they need that one piece to get over the hump. Like, no, there's no hump to get over. This didn't work. I don't think that they can do with what they have available. I don't think that they can make the leaps that they're going to need to make to build around whatever big contracts they currently have. Whether that's Zach LaVine or Domantas Sabonis or DeMar DeRozan, I don't think that they have the assets to make the moves they would need to make.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, there has to be a reset of sorts. That doesn't mean trade everybody, start at ground zero. Like, no, like Keegan Murray's 24, going on 25. Okay, keep Keegan Murray. Keon Ellis, same thing. You like what he's got there. Outside of that, there's not a like, oh, hey, just we're a piece away. We're one guy away. It's not. There has to be a wholesale change. And to me, you've fired Mike Brown. You've hired Doug Christie. You've hired Scott Perry. Like, let this be a new era. It's really clear firing Mike Brown, firing Monty McNair, Wes Wilcox leaving, getting not fired, but leaving. That all said, this is over. This era of Kings basketball is over.
Mm-hmm.
Let Scott Perry and Doug Christie start with whatever they start at a baseline that's not, yeah, can you get us to 45 wins because we don't want to be bad?
Okay, so I am never going to advocate for running it back with this current group. Like, don't get me wrong here at all. I do not think that if you started at the beginning of last season with this roster, this is a 500 roster, mm-hmm. you might have two or three more wins.
Sure.
Total. Yeah. Now, I will say that there was a point last season, early in the year, where I do think the Kings were one move away from not being a title contender, but from being a legitimate contender for a top-tier Western Conference playoff spot. Mm-hmm. But that team is gone. When you trade De'Aaron Fox, that team is gone.
Right.
Right? You spent almost 8 years calling him the head of the snake, and then you lopped off the head of the snake. So now you're directionless. You need to figure out who you are and all that stuff moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
I do see a way, though, in which the Kings can make moves and get right back into this thing. And even if, like, I know a lot of people go, no, that there's no way, like, one or two mm-hmm. moves is not going to change the direction of this team. But I'm just going to point out, like, the Los Angeles Lakers, I don't see them getting, like, way better. Like, LeBron James is going to be another year older. He's going to play fewer games. Luka Doncic is great, but he also is injury-prone and doesn't play nearly as much. And sure. They didn't look really good in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
The Denver Nuggets are, again, in a salary cap situation. They fired their head coach. They're looking to revamp and maybe be able to reload, but they might not be able to get there either. The Los Angeles Clippers are the Clippers. They fizzle out every year. Like the Timberwolves. The Timberwolves have three rotational pieces that are huge pieces for them mm-hmm. that are all either free agents or can become free agents.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Golden State Warriors are just old
mm-hmm.
as a team. They just, and you saw what happened when Steph Curry goes out, they're done.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So when we get to like the team above the Kings, the Memphis Grizzlies, I think everyone sees major changes coming for the Grizzlies as well, especially when you factor in that Jaren Jackson Jr. is going to have to sign an extension.
I don't disagree with any of that.
Yep.
I don't think you can build or not build your team based on like, hey, maybe those teams will all be ass. Like, are you telling me?
We just
watched the Lakers get Luka Doncic for Anthony Davis and a bag of chips.
Yeah.
Like, just like we can go, oh, well, maybe they won't be any good. They could also get Kevin Durant.
And oh, that's true.
And like, you know, so that's where I don't think you can base this on what the rest of the Western Conference looks like, because hoping that, hey, maybe 46 wins get you a top six seed is not that good of a way to go about building your basketball team.
No, I agree. But my point is that this thing is wide open outside of OKC. OKC is the one team that we know is going to be really, really good next year. The rest of the teams, we have no idea. And the Kings aren't that far away from being part of that group. But, I mean, not in their current build. And mm-hmm. so that's why I'm not all in on a rebuild, because I know the Kings are never going to be all in on a rebuild.
Even if they should.
Sure. And I'll agree. Like, yeah, there should be a moment where you have to rebuild everything. I totally agree.
Yeah.
But they're not going to. So I live in that world where I understand that, like, yeah, there are potential for them to go trade players.
Mm-hmm.
And players that people
they
like.
Probably should, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm also looking at this team going, okay, like, there is no way they're going to cut ticket prices. And there's no way that this team is going to go all the way backwards. Just the idea that you might be able to make it mm-hmm. is usually enough for people to come out to games. And, you know, the fact that, you know, again, look at Sutter Health Park emptying out right now.
Mm-hmm.
When you lose 19 out of 20 games, nobody cares about you at all anymore.
Yeah, you're just,
and that's on you. That's not fans. On the fans. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't matter where this team plays. They're in Oakland. They'd be drawing 3,000 fans.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to watch a team that does not compete.
Correct.
And it's the same exact thing for basketball. Like, if you're not going to be competitive at all and go do what, you know, some of these, the Utah Jazz, the you know,
and I guess,
Blazers.
And I guess that's where we separate here.
Yeah.
Is because I understand what you're saying completely. To me, just being competitive enough that you don't have to slash ticket prices is brutal.
Oh, I totally agree.
That is just brutal.
Yes. I'm not telling you that that's my idea.
No, I know that.
I'm telling you that's where they're at.
That sucks, dude. And I get to be totally clear on this, because I don't want this I think you're right, and I think that there are 30 out of 30 teams that feel the same way. There are just some teams, Charlotte, Washington, they get backed into a corner where
Yeah, they just can't get good.
Right.
Yeah.
And they accumulate the draft capital, they make the wrong picks, and now they're just in this death spiral of being bad.
Yeah, or even if you make the right picks, nobody cares. Nobody cares right. about what you're doing, and mm-hmm. and you just can't get out of your own way, and you know, yeah. inconsistency of management, inconsistency of sure. coaching and all that stuff. Yeah, that's when the death spiral is like it's bad. Like, and I've seen it so many times here in Sacramento.
Like, I wonder if not to say that, oh man, if the Kings rebuild, people would be stoked about it. Like, no, because it would mean a lot of losing. Mm-hmm. There'd be at least a couple of years where you're winning 20 to 30 games, and it's pretty brutal. But it would be in service of ideally climbing to a tier that they're not presently set to get to.
Yeah.
On the other hand, I don't think that Kings fans or really any fan base would be cool with not running it back, but being in a position where we're going into this year. Like, yeah, if things break right, maybe they're a top six seed. I think there's a... After breaking the playoff drought, it feels like there's now this aspiration of like, okay, now next. Now the next thing. Now deep playoff run. Now championship run.
Yeah.
Like some level, again, it's not that line is not linear, but which I think doesn't make sense because line and linear are the same thing. That path is not linear.
Okay.
I don't think they can get to that path without a teardown. And that's why I landed on that side of the fence. Because I don't think people are largely going to be cool with like being pretty mid for the next couple of years in service of, well, at least they get to keep the ticket prices high.
Well, no, I think this struggle that you have here too is that you're watching two teams that are so far ahead in their build mm-hmm. in the Thunder and Houston. And so you're always looking at like, hey, where's my window going to be?
Sure.
And I think there are a bunch of teams that their window's closing. We can see it. You know, mm-hmm. the Clippers, the Lakers, the Lakers might extend there because of Luka. But
sure.
But the Warriors, mm-hmm. like you're seeing the runs come to an end. Mm-hmm. Even the Nuggets, you can see that, okay, like look, they keep losing pieces and they're getting to a point where, sure, they'll have an MVP caliber player, but do they have enough pieces around him? Mm-hmm. So we're watching that there is this window where you can get right back into it, right? And you're trying to beat teams, but if you step back, you can see that the window is closing on the Kings just like it is on all those other teams. Mm-hmm. It just straight up is. Mm-hmm. Like that's why going out that's and getting a 35-year-old DeMar DeRozan, it just like push your window open and put like a pebble in the place. Like, oh, it's still open. You see the window? It's still open. It's like, yeah, it's open about like the width of my pinky. Like right. that's where your window is. Right. And oh, look, your window closed. You got bounced in the play-in. So it's a weird situation to be in. But again, that's why you don't let people who you don't have faith in and that you don't believe are the right people to make the decisions moving forward. And you know, you're going to fire these guys. That's why you don't have them make trades on the way out the door.
Yeah.
You just don't. De'Aaron Fox was perfectly fine waiting until this summer. Perfectly fine waiting until this summer to get traded.
Mm-hmm.
And there, you basically gave up a 30-game window with Doug Christie as his head coach to say, okay, is there any way we can convince you?
Mm-hmm.
You just gave that away. You just
punted it.
You just punted it and you traded him and... Again, you traded away a major position of need in the NBA. Mm-hmm. The most crucial position in the NBA. You traded that piece for a scorer that can't play that other position. And that's where, again, like your build just takes a huge step backwards. Like, mm-hmm. how do you get out of this?
Yeah.
So, tough.
Yeah, man. I keep going back to young players and picks. Acquiring those and figuring it out down the road because I don't think a team with Zach LaVine and Domantas Sabonis on it as the two best players
mm-hmm.
is going to get where people ultimately want to go. Is that's where I stand as of today. Maybe they do that this year and Scott Perry's the best GM in the league and they put the right pieces and oh my God, they're in the conference finals. And I would be stoked to sit here and go, wow, super wrong. But man, it is hard to see it again on June 4th, 2025, that formula working.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I don't think there's really a precedent for it. And I think when teams get to this point where they hit a ceiling, they either fire Tom Thibodeau to try and get a different coach and get this group over the hump.
Yep.
Or you restart. And that's why I've now fallen on the restart side of the fence. You mentioned point guards.
Yeah.
We have a report from Hoops Hype about one of the point guards the Kings are interested in. Get fired up, everybody. We'll talk about that, and we'll talk about another report. The funniest report of the day about the Kings and the players they want to trade. We'll talk about that next. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. He's Joe Brazil. Jiffy Lube is omnipresent because they sponsor the show on ESPN 1320. It's Sacramento's sports leader.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Mike's on. He's James. That's Joe. I'm Kyle. We're hanging out with you till noon. I made a joke on the internet about being hungover. Not today. The joke was about being hungover. I haven't been hungover in so long. I've gotten so much better at drinking.
Oh,
as an adult.
You know what the key to... Okay, so here's the trick. Spend the extra dollar or two and don't buy the cheap liquor when you're at a bar. That's it's just the way it's distilled.
All right, for the broke boys among us...
also, make sure you're hydrating the whole time. Like, I don't get hungover. I can wake up
mix in a water.
Yeah.
And this is the issue, not the issues of my youth. I'm not getting into those on the radio. But the mistakes of my youth is mixing alcohol. I used to be like, I'm going to have a couple of beers.
No.
And then I'm having this Moscow Mule. Oh. Fireball shots, bet. I'm in there. Oh, let me have a whiskey ginger ale. Okay, I'm on to whiskey ginger ale. I'm going to have a couple of those. Oh, another beer? Great, yeah. Hey, oh, now I'm going to have a fireball shot, and I'm going to chase it with another beer. Like, it was just chaos.
Yeah. Beer before liquor, never sicker, is one of the most honest and true.
Liquor before beer, you're in the clear.
Yeah.
So, the sticking to one alcohol, and then I just don't drink as heavily now. I've gotten to this point where I'm like, okay, I've taken the edge off.
Mm-hmm.
Had a couple drinks. I'm good. I'm chilling. It's not like I've had a couple drinks. Let's have eight more. I'm past that. So
I have an off switch.
Salute to me. I've made it.
I do. I have an off switch. I go, oh, yeah, I'm good.
Yeah. And a lot of people did not have that as a young person.
A lot of people don't. I know people that aren't young people who still don't have an off
salute
switch.
Salute to them.
Yeah.
Salute to them.
And I want to, Rustog says something in the chat here.
Oh, that was not the message I was looking at.
Okay, so I'm going to address something here. Rustog, since you have been working for the Kings organization, would you think the best player the Kings drafted? Rustog, I have never once in my entire life worked for the Kings organization, nor have I acted like I worked for the Kings organization or anything else. I worked for NBC for 6 years. Who has a contract with the Kings, but never once was I told what to say and what not to say, what to write, what not to write, or anything else. So I just want to clarify that.
Sure.
Like, there is no working for the Kings organization ever. I've always been independent, and that's just the way it is.
All right. Speaking of the Kings, I'm going to go back. I know we'll get to this free agency rumor. We'll get to the trade rumors, I promise. but somebody said something in the chat, and I would like to talk about this specifically with you because we got to enjoy this together. Team Simpton in the chatty house at youtube.com/ESPN1320 asks, what do you think about Delano Banton as a possible point guard signing for the Kings? James and I sat there.
Watched the most
I believe it was the final game of the 2023-2024 NBA season.
It was.
We watched Delano Banton play against the Kings in a game where, as I vamp and find the box score.
He goes...
No, I'm sorry. It was the final...
Home game?
Oh, yes. No, it was the final game. Then there were the playing games. That's right.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
The Kings won that game 121-82. Delano Banton started for the Portland Trailblazers. He played 39 minutes.
Yeah.
Before getting ejected.
Oh, yeah. I remember the ejection.
He went 6-for-26 from the field. He scored 17 points, 7 assists, 3 steals, 3 rebounds.
6-for-17, is that what you said?
6-of-26 from the field.
6-of-26. So he missed 20 shots.
And an NBA record.
NBA record.
0-for-15 from 3.
0-for-15.
My dog was chucking.
We had such a good time with that.
Yeah, we looked at like 0-for-9, I think, was when we started looking up, hey, what's the record for most 3-point attempts in a game without a make?
Yeah.
It belongs to Delano Banton. It's 15, guys.
That's so wild. I remember there was a season when, what is his name?
So that's all to say, you can tell me anything about Delano Banton. Yeah. Maybe you watch a lot of Trailblazers and you're like, actually, he's better than you think. I'm a thumbs down.
Oh, yeah.
I want no part of it. And I get he's 6'9". He plays point guard. Good size. Averaged 8-2-2 this year and 17 minutes a night for Portland. The fact that he's playing 17 minutes a night off the bench for Portland says everything I need to know about where Delano Banton's at.
Yeah,
he's 25.
There was a season when Travis Outlaw, who was at the time a good signing for the Kings and then just never worked out. Super, super nice guy, but could not shoot at all. Mm-hmm. There was a season with the Kings where he, I think, was 1-of-22 from 3. And we're talking about a guy who career-wise was like a 33.7% shooter from 3, but had come off a bunch of seasons where he was actually really good from 3.
Mm-hmm.
And then I believe it was his second season in Sacramento, he just couldn't shoot at all. It was one of the worst things I've ever seen, to see a player just lose the ability to hit a 3-point shot for long stretches. But Delano Banton in one game was... I mean, it was mystical watching it. Like, is he going to keep shooting? Oh, yeah, he is.
It was, he didn't have a green light. He had no light. He was on the Autobahn, just getting after it.
Oh, yeah.
It was amazing. And then he got ejected with like 4 minutes left.
Well, I would have been ejected too. If you missed all those shots, you're like you missed 20 shots. You're feeling really, really bad. There's angst in your play.
So I think if you're trying to execute a trade with the Blazers, I'm guessing Delano Banton is a player you could go get. I want no parts of that. And if you're a big Delano Banton fan, cool. I don't hate you for it. It's just not a player I would be interested in if I was the Kings.
I want to pull up one thing from the chat too.
Please.
Aaron Burgers, Travis Outlaw came out of high school in the same draft as LeBron James. You're not wrong.
I feel like Travis Outlaw played a million years ago. I guess he did.
Outlaw has not played since the 2013-14 season.
And he had a long career.
Yes, he
played for a decade.
Yeah, he did. He did play for a decade, and he has not played in 11 years, going on 12 seasons.
2013-14? Was the last year he played?
Yeah.
Was that LeBron's second title?
Maybe.
No, that was the year the Spurs won. That was the year the Spurs beat the Heat.
Okay.
13-14.
Hmm.
That was LeBron's last year in Miami.
It's just a long time ago.
Was the last time that Travis Outlaw played in the NBA.
That's wild.
And LeBron's just still playing.
I will say he was a very, very nice dude. Just like a super quiet guy, and just like hung out in the locker room a lot. And it's the good old days where players actually hung out in the locker room.
Yeah. And the vibes were up.
Yeah.
Lonzo Ball is another name that has come up. I believe it was Evan Sittery reported that he's available in a trade, or Chicago is going to look to trade him.
Yeah.
I here's the this is I don't want to talk out of both sides of my mouth here, because I get the hesitance to add more former Chicago Bulls to the Kings.
Yeah.
But the hesitation, I guess, is the right word. I get the hesitation to do that. But in a world where the Kings are trying to build with Domantas Sabonis and Zach LaVine, and they're trading DeMar DeRozan, I don't hate Lonzo Ball as like your backup point guard.
Yeah.
Even a starter in a pinch. Like, I just, in a vacuum, I like Lonzo Ball a lot. I know the injury stuff. I know that he's not the player that looked dominant at UCLA like he was going to be the next face of the league.
Oh, totally.
But given what the Kings need, I wouldn't hate the acquisition.
He's also on a 2-year, $20 million contract. Cheap. Yeah, and there's a team option for the 26-27 season at $10 million. Mm-hmm. So $10 million and $10 million. Like, that's... Mm-hmm. Like, by NBA standards, yeah. Like, again, if you don't have DeRozan and LaVine, I would be fine with going out and trading for Lonzo in some weird trade that lands you, you know, like a reasonably good player who's just had massive injury problems. Mm-hmm. But then you have to come back with, like, another starting level point guard.
Yeah. I would agree with you.
Like, if you came into this season with Tyus Jones and Lonzo Ball as your point guard rotation, okay. Like, I would be okay with that. Especially, you know, Lonzo at like 6'7". Lonzo could go play the three in weird situations. Like, you could go with like a three guard set with him because of his height. But you're really banking on somebody who hasn't been able to play hardly at all in the last 5 years.
Yeah, I like I said, I'm not putting him at the top of any list of players the Kings need to go get.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to immediate thumbs down because he played for the Bulls, is all.
No, it's just you, if you're going to do that.
I think there's a world where the collection of moves this summer for the Kings involves adding Lonzo Ball and it be a positive for their roster.
Yeah.
That's where,
and he's only 27, man. You feel bad for Lonzo.
That's crazy, dude.
Yeah, I mean, he missed two full seasons, did not play at all, and he's only played 35 games in each of the seasons around those two seasons that he missed. So
also, apparently beloved in Chicago.
Okay.
Like, when he made that first three after he came back, he hit it in the preseason, people just went nuts.
Well, good basketball fans are pulling for a guy who, you know, again, his first 35 games... in a Chicago Bulls uniform with Zach LaVine and with DeMar DeRozan, they were, I think, the number one team in the Eastern Conference. And then he got hurt, and then their wheels fell off that season.
916-909-1320, 916-909-1320 is the Elk Grove Kia talk line. Still got Joe in Elk Grove wants to talk about a Sabonis trade.
The great Joe in Elk Grove.
The great Joe in Elk Grove. Joe, you got some news to break for us?
Hey, what's going on, Kyle? Man, I just let you know I haven't been calling in, man. I just got out of the hospital. I was stuck in there 21 days, man. I got a blood disorder in my blood, and I got sepsis in my blood, so I almost died. Just got out last Tuesday. That's why I haven't been calling.
All right.
Joe, are you good now?
Yeah, so I'm all good now.
All right.
That's good.
Thank goodness.
I lost 73 pounds.
That's a weight loss program right there.
Yeah, one way to do it. Wouldn't recommend it, though. Joe, what do you got for us on the Kings?
No, first of all, this Keegan Murray for Jonathan Kuminga trade, I would not trade Murray for Kuminga.
Not even close.
Nope.
Not even real.
I wouldn't trade Sabonis. If the Kings trade Sabonis, then, I mean, you might just do a total rebuild. Here's what I'm saying. Okay, Mr. Hamm, the draft this year, after the fifth pick, It's a crapshoot. Any of those guys could be all bust after from six all the way down.
That's
so
true.
I'm not too disappointed the Kings don't have a first round pick this year, because the draft is, I mean, it is bad this year. It's bad, really bad. And then here's what I'm saying. The Kings have their 2026, 2027, and 2028 first round picks, right, Ms. Trapp?
Yep.
Okay, you send those three. Here's what I've been told. Those three to Boston, and Zach LaVine, and they also want Keon Ellis and the Kings get back and start their rebuild, by next year they get Jason Tatum. Would you do it?
Yeah, thanks for the call, Joe. If you can get Jason Tatum, great.
Yeah, if you get Jason Tatum for Zach LaVine, Keon Ellis, 3 first round picks, then I do the deal, even though Tatum's going to miss the entire season with an Achilles injury.
I would be floored if Boston is moving on from Jason Tatum, despite the injury.
Yeah, I would be floored as well. And yeah, Jason Tatum is one of those players.
All right, we'll keep talking about this. TC, I see you on the Elk Grove Kia Talk Line, 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. If you'd like to join the program, we're talking Kings free agency and trade rumors. The rumor mill is starting up, and we're going to talk about it on The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. It's ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento Sports Leader.
We are golden.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.